from Edinburgh, Radio Napier, News.
It's 1 o'clock and you're listening to Radio Napier News. The headlines this afternoon. Jeremy Corbyn and challenger Owen Smith face a tense wait after polls in the Labour leadership contest close today. Police have arrested a suspect in relation to the New York bombings which took place on Saturday. Concerns are growing following a significant increase in crime in the capital. And Scottish soul sensation Paul Nutini is set to headline Edinburgh's Hogmanay celebrations. Jeremy Corbyn and contender Owen Smith made a final plea for votes in the last hours of the Labour leadership battle. 640,000 people were eligible to vote. Our political correspondent Peter Carson has more.
The Labour leadership contest has ended, with voting closing at noon today. Jeremy Corbyn is being challenged by MP Owen Smith, who wants to bring balance to the divided party. At the final head-to-head debate, he accused Corbyn of drafting up a list of MPs that he intends to fire after securing his place as leader.
Now, if that's what you're intending to do if you win this contest, to deselect all of our MPs, then we will be in even greater trouble than we're in right now. And I resign because I don't think you are serious about uniting us.
Corbyn responded by explaining to moderator Faisal Islam that the leaked list was based on comments that were on the record.
It's all stuff that's out there in the public record
anyway.
Complaining
Tom Watson calling Momentum a rabble, I mean, it's a bit playground stuff.
Well, he actually said it.
I know, but I mean, come on, if you can't...
I'd rather
the
he
The rough
hadn't.
And tumble of politics...
I'd rather he hadn't said it, and he probably wishes he hadn't said it.
Some MPs are confused about the inclusion of their names on the list, considering it an attack. MP Neil Coyle has been angered by his inclusion, demanding an apology from Corbyn's team.
The only thing I can think of is my article in The Guardian with Joe Cox after local elections saying that Labour needed to do better and we needed to have the policies to attract voters back to Labour. If that is an attack on the leader, then he's really in desperate times.
Accusations of bullying have been at the heart of the contest alongside claims of anti-Semitism. Coyle has claimed that it's all part of Corbyn's campaign, that abuse and negativity are at the heart of the team. A member of Corbyn's camp has made a statement apologising for the leak of the list.
One of our researchers saw a bit of incoming flak and then did a list of all the statements that have been made by other MPs, some of which were not particularly kind, let's put it that way. And it was a briefing note and it shouldn't have gone out, and we apologised for that.
Former Labour MP David Blunkett has started an anti-Corbyn lobby to combat the grassroots movement campaign that has shown massive amounts of support for Corbyn. He feels Owen Smith is the candidate that should be taking the reins in leading Labour.
Because I want a Labour Party with its historic constitutional requirement to get people elected locally and nationally so that they can actually take action to do something about the resolutions that Momentum and Jeremy's supporters are passing every day of the week.
Voting is now closed and the results will be announced before the party's conference this Saturday. Senior Labour sources have told Sky's Beth Rigby that a Jeremy Corbyn victory is to be expected.
Remember, he got 60% of the fast round vote in the leadership election last year. His backers are hoping to even get higher than that this year.
And now over to Rachel Henderson with the international news.
The alleged suspect, Ahmed Khan Rahami, from the recent New York bombings, has been arrested and charged with attempted murder and injuring 29 people. Ahmed Khan Rahami was detained after a shootout with police and three officers were taken to hospital. His father, Mohammed Rahami, says he had no idea of his son's alleged plot. New York Police Commissioner James O'Neill, speaking at the conference, said,
"Our primary focus has been to identify and apprehend a person responsible for these crimes. Now that we have this suspect in custody, the investigation can focus on other aspects, such as whether this individual acted alone and what his motivations may have been."
Republican Donald Trump has seized on the fact that Mr. Rahami was born in Afghanistan to bolster his tough stance on immigration admissions, which has sparked a heated debate between the two candidates. The first eagerly awaited debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump is taking place this Monday, and yet again, both candidates are causing controversy. Donald Trump's son yesterday compared Syrian refugees to poison sweets. He says America shouldn't accept any Syrian refugees because of the risks posed by a minority.
"We support immigration that strengthens and uplifts our nation. People who come here They support our values and they want to uphold our constitution.
Recently, Clinton accused some of Trump's supporters of being bigoted and sexist towards some members of society.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
Sadly, the campaign seems to have taken a more personal turn, and the recent terrorism events may shape a heated debate on Monday.
There is growing concern for the people of Edinburgh regarding their safety following the rape of a woman at a city centre bus stop. The incident is said to have taken place in the early hours of Tuesday morning on Lothian Road, opposite the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. There has been an alarming increase of rape cases recently in the city, with 235 incidents recorded since the start of the year. This is a significant rise from the 284 which were registered in the whole of last year. Helen McVie, a spokesperson for Edinburgh's Women's Rape and Sexual Abuse Centre, explained the support available to victims of crimes of this nature.
We are the National Organisation for the Rape Crisis Centres in Scotland. We support anyone who's been affected by sexual violence at any time in their lives. We do a lot of campaigning work. We've run a couple of high-profile campaigns in the last few years, like This Is Not an Invitation to Rape Me, and Not Ever, both of which were aimed at changing public attitudes towards women in the context of rape, because women are very often blamed.
Although this is the only attack of its sort to take place this week, crime in general has been in the public eye in the last few days. Police have launched an investigation after a targeted shooting took place at a family home on the outskirts of the city. Shots were fired shortly after 6 o'clock yesterday morning. The family were in the house at the time, but nobody was injured. Officers are keen to trace two men in dark clothing who were seen in the area at the time, before a silver Saab estate was left abandoned in West Lothian. In a separate attack, a 50-year-old woman has lost her life in hospital 3 days after being attacked in Fife. Anyone with information is being encouraged to contact Police Scotland on 101. And in Wester Hales, a Polish family were subjected to verbal abuse and vandalism in an unprovoked racist attack. It took police over 7 hours to respond. Lukas Pakula, 34, his wife and two children phoned police 8 times before officers arrived at their home, where they had lived peacefully for almost a decade. And a reminder of today's top stories. Jeremy Corbyn and challenger Owen Smith face a tense wait after polls in the Labour leadership contest closed today. Police have arrested a suspect in relation to the New York bombings which took place on Saturday. Concerns are growing following a significant increase in crime in the capital. And still to come, with a star-studded lineup, Edinburgh's Hogmanay celebrations are set to be the biggest yet. But first, in sport, undefeated Ultimate Fighting sensation Stevie Braveheart Ray is set to take on Brazilian Alan Patrick. The Scotsman will fight in the lightweight division at UFC Fight Night 95 in Brazil's capital on Saturday. Dan Smith has the full story.
Fighting out of Fife, Scotland, Stevie Braveheart Ray!
Kirkcaldy's Stevie Ray puts it all on the line in Brazil's capital when he takes on Brazilian native Alan Patrick at UFC Fight Night 95 this Saturday. Stevie has a professional MMA record of 19 wins and 5 losses. With the UFC, he is undefeated with 3 wins with the promotion since his April 2015 debut. Nicknamed Braveheart, he is a former British national champion in the 155-pound lightweight division, as well as a world champion with European-based promotion Cage Warriors, having inherited the belt in 2014 when it was vacated by UFC superstar Conor McGregor. Ray trains out of higher-level martial arts based in Whitburn. We spoke to Stevie's coach Danny Gray, who has cornered Ray on a multitude of his fights. He explains Stevie's strengths and what he has to offer in order to defeat Alan Patrick this Saturday.
As far as the opponent goes, any guy fighting at that level is going to have multiple kind of, you know, pose multiple threats to any fighter, because that's the name of the game. It's such a diverse way. There's so many ways to win the fight. So you need to treat every opponent with the utmost respect. In terms of what he's going to bring to the table against Stevie, I think Stevie can match him every single range that he has.
Braveheart is an all-rounder with great striking and a solid ground game. He is a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and also holds an undefeated amateur MMA record of 7 wins and 0 defeats. He has also trained with the world-renowned TriStar Gym in Montreal, Canada. TriStar has produced some of the world's top MMA fighters, including UFC legend and former welterweight champion George St. Pierre. Scottish women's strawweight contender Joanne Calderwood also trains out of TriStar. Braveheart's opponent Alan Patrick holds an impressive MMA record of 13 wins and only one defeat. He is also a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, so he has a very solid ground game.
And now over to Robbie Thompson with the sports roundup.
Thanks, Ailsa. Cities are likely to bid to host the Davis Cup and Fed Cup finals in the future as part of the International Tennis Federation's plans to revamp the team competitions. The decider is usually put on by one of the finalists. The International Tennis Federation is also looking at whether to reduce the Davis Cup from best of five sets to best of three. The Fed Cup's elite world group is likely to double to 16 teams in line with the men's event. Recommendations will be put forward at an AGM in August next year. Rome is expected to confirm that it's pulling out of the bid to host the 2024 Olympics today. The Italian capital's new mayor has spoken before of her concerns about the rising cost of putting on the Games. Los Angeles, Paris and Budapest would be left in the running. The International Olympic Committee will decide on the 2024 host around this time next year. Moving on, Manchester City begin their League Cup defence tonight when they travel to Swansea in one of the eight third-round ties. League One Northampton Town aim to take advantage of a bad week or so for Manchester United, who've lost three matches in a row in all competitions. Northampton struggled financially and almost went out of business last year, but their manager Rob Page admits their turnaround has been impressive.
12, 14 months to go from the borderline liquidation to playing against Man United in this cup in this round is fantastic for the football club, and I'm pleased for the owners, for the chairman, for the supporters and for the players, you know, because the majority of those players have been here through troubled times last season and deserve that.
And back in Scottish football tonight, Celtic face Alloa in the quarter-finals of the League Cup. Chris Ashton has no chance of a recall to the England Rugby Union squad for the autumn internationals. The Saracens winger has been given a 13-week ban for biting, meaning he'll miss the opening four rounds of the club's European Champions Cup defence.
And finally, if you're lucky enough to have a ticket to Edinburgh's Hogmanay celebrations, you could be seeing our very own Paolo Nutini. This year's festivities will see a number of changes, with the festival moving from the Royal Mile to Charlotte Square. From the capital, Jennifer Frame reports.
With 94 days until Edinburgh's Christmas, planning for Edinburgh's end-of-year festivities is underway. The city's Christmas celebrations will continue to be an expanding affair, with exciting changes being made to the 2016 schedule. After its success on the Royal Mile in 2015, the 60,000 bulb Street of Light will move to George Street's West End at Charlotte Square. Opening on the 20th of November as part of Light Night, local choirs such as the Edinburgh Festival Chorus will perform alongside this spectacular. As the city prepares to ring in 2016, critically acclaimed singer Paolo Nutini has been announced as the headline act for Edinburgh's Hogmanay celebrations. The Paisley-born performer is said he has made up, as the announcement marks 10 years since Nutini's first gig at Hogmanay, where he was due to open for the Pet Shop Boys, but due to typical Scottish weather, it was a washout. He stated, "Edinburgh is electric at that time of year, and I'm glad we get a chance to be a part of it." Operating since 1993, the capital's New Year Party holds a world-famous title as the UK's largest outdoor winter music festival. It hosts entertainment over 3 days from the 30th of December to the 1st of January. Francis Sutton, press manager for Edinburgh's Hogmanay, explains why kickstarting 2017 on such a large scale benefits local businesses.
It is noticeable how much Edinburgh is open, if you like, for business after Christmas. So hotels are reporting a 98% occupancy rate in the city centre over Hogmanay. You'll find that visitor attractions, bars, restaurants, cafes are all open on the 1st of January, which never used to happen. And that is due to us bringing people in from around the world to come and celebrate Hogmanay in Edinburgh.
For the 70th anniversary of Edinburgh becoming the world's leading festival city, 150,000 visitors are expected from over 80 countries, boosting the city's economy by an estimated £40 million. However, locals are expected to revel in the celebrations too.
I think generally the resident city embrace Hogmanay. They certainly mostly love the fireworks, and even if you're not coming to the street party, the fireworks off the castle can be viewed all over the city.
That's all from us. Follow us on Twitter at EN4News for all the latest updates.
This is Radio Napier.